I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Once you find 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'd like for you to find, verse number 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. And then if you'll stand tonight, we'll have lesson number 35 on the subject of separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 14, I'm going to read it to you. The Bible says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the Savior of death unto death, and to the other the Savior of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things." Now, verse number 17 is the verse that we will use to get us started tonight on the subject. It says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Notice the Bible says there are people corrupting the Word of God. Tonight, I want to talk to us about separation from false Bibles. Separation from false Bibles. Let's pray. Father, I certainly would like to teach our folks tonight the importance of the purity of the Word of God. Lord, your book is so precious, and we know that your book is what you are, and what you are is your book. Help us tonight to rightly divide the word of truth, and help us to be a stronger church and stronger people, because we uplift and exalt the word of God. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'll help us tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. If you are listening, notice it said there in 2 Corinthians 2:17 that there are those who corrupt the Word of God. Now, the word corrupt has a variety of definitions or words that would define it. It would mean someone that debases it or makes it inferior. There is not one thing that a human could add to or take away from the Word of God that would make it better. Not one thing. If man tampers with it in the slightest, we have debased it. We have made it inferior. Man can't improve on what God did right in the first place. The word corrupt means to infect. The word corrupt means to taint, means to spoil, or to contaminate. I was thinking about this. Here the Bible says there are those that corrupt the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29, the Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Wow. There are people that are corrupting the Word of God, and God said you should not let corrupt things come out of your mouth. Now, you might say, well, that means that verse there, Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." That means you shouldn't cuss. Well, I think that's right. I don't think you ought to cuss. But the Bible says there are people that have corrupted the Word of God. So when the Bible tells us that we should not let corrupt communication come out of our mouth, I think God is telling us if someone has there is corrupt words of God where people have corrupted it, that shouldn't be coming out of our mouth either. I don't think cuss words are the only corrupt communication that could come out of someone's mouth. Now, many of you have read different verses in the Bible that warn about the treatment of the Word of God. Take your Bible real quickly and turn to Revelation chapter 22, verse number 19. Those that would appropriately defend the Word of God will often refer to this verse as well as others. But Revelation 22:19, it says this, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And that's not talking about someone losing their salvation. That's not the part of the verse that we want to give attention to tonight anyway. But here it is being said that if someone takes away from the words of God's book, there's a high, high penalty for it. The liberals are corrupting the purity of God's word by eliminating words from the Bible. I don't see how any human being could even possibly think they could improve on God's writing. But they do. The King James Bible has in it 783,137 words. They're not adding words to it. They're not subtracting words from it. But did you know that when they developed the New King James, they removed 12,707 words? That meant somebody thought they can improve on God, and they eliminated 12,707 of God's words. The New International Version removed 55,168 words. That's what you call corrupting. That's what you call diluting, debasing, making it inferior. They call it the NIV. They have the ESV. They removed 25,698 words when they developed that Bible. That's the Gideon's preferred version. Can you imagine? They think you ought to take almost 26,000 words out of the Bible. You think you can improve on what God has done? Now, there are many other versions that have removed even more. When you get to versions like Good News for Modern Man, I'm not sure they left any words in the Bible when they started debasing it. Those numbers do reflect changes that are equivalent to corruption. Now, let me give you a handful of very practical points. A line of logic that I teach and I've taught before, and it's just worthy of being taught over and over again. Let me say, number one, we must have God's pure word to raise our children as we are commanded to raise our children. You say, that's an odd place to start. Well, God, I'm going to show you a verse. I believe God, when He gave us His pure word, He gave it to us for our family's sake. He gave it to us to help raise our children. Let me read a couple of verses to you. So I said, number one, we have to have God's pure word to raise our children, because God commanded us to raise our children by the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 7 says, "And thou shalt teach them," this is in reference to the word of God, "and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Just a few verses later, it says this, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, and that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." God had said, "I want you to train your children by the word of God." But he makes a statement that man should live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Now see, I have a real bad problem if God said we're to live and raise our children by every word. I've got a problem with somebody that removes 55,168 words. Somebody's made a pretty drastic mistake. Hey, no wonder the children of this generation are messed up. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. Deuteronomy 6:6 was speaking of parents and their responsibility to train their children using the Word of God as their guide. He used these, he said, teach them diligently, what? God's Word. Talk of them when thou settest in thine house, what? God's Word. When thou walkest by the way, what? Talk about the Word of God. When thou liest down. When I grew up, I can remember getting on my knees by my bed and saying, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I remember learning scriptures and things. The Bible says, when thou risest up, what is all that? God is saying, we as parents are given the Word of God to help raise our children. And God said that you are to not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We then would need an every word Bible to be able to follow God's command about rearing our children. By the same token, I think God would want the new babes in Christ to be reared by every word in the church. But God said, I want you parents to raise your children by every word I've spoken. Now, if I were a parent, I'd want to make sure I had the right Bible to help me to turn out the right kind of kids. So I said, number one, we must have God's pure word to raise our children as we're commanded. Now, number two, God wanted parents, Christians, and the church to have all of His exact words. That's what He wanted. Let me read a couple of verses to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if God wanted us to study His word, then He intended for us to have His word. And if God wanted us to rightly divide His word, He intended that we would have His word. Do you know that some liberals say the word of God is not available to man today? That's what they say. They say, we don't have the original manuscript, so we don't really have the Word of God. But the only problem is, they've forgotten one of God's promises. God promised in Psalm chapter 12, verse number 7, He said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Amen. He's talking about the Word of God. So when somebody says, well, you don't have the original manuscripts, therefore you don't have a Word of God, they are in denial of the very Word of God, because God promised you and I that He would preserve His Word for every generation. And you and I are living in a generation. Some then say that any version of the Bible is okay. They say their version or perversion does not change the doctrine. May I remind you, He said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God did not say we are to rightly divide every doctrine. He said, but the word of truth. He did not say we're to rightly divide every thought, but the very word of truth. Now, I think we should rightly divide the doctrine, but God is not saying you are to just keep the doctrine. He said you are to keep my words, and my words added together add up to doctrine. And if you protect the words, you protect the doctrine. How could God justly command that we study the words if He didn't provide them? Let me remind you what it said there in Deuteronomy chapter 8 when we read it earlier. It says that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live. How could God command that we live by every word unless He's going to provide us every word?
I can't live right if I don't have every word. Now, God wants me to live right, doesn't He? That means He promised there would be every word somewhere. We need every word that God has spoken. Not man rewording what God said. What arrogance.
Yes, sir. Amen.
To think that a man or a group of men or so-called scholars could get together and improve on God. Man can't improve on God. God even narrows this down a little bit more in Matthew 5:18, where He says this, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." The words of God, I believe, God has His word. It's the same today as it was when it was written. When it, if you listen to what that said, it says not one jot or tittle will pass away. Now, a jot, that comes from the word iota, which is the ninth letter of the Greek alphabet. God is saying that every letter of God's word is pure. The letters. Then the word tittle, that's like it's a little tiny ending that makes one letter different than the other. You know, like the crossing of a T. But God is saying to us, not only is every book in the Bible inspired, every verse is inspired, every word is inspired, the letters are inspired, and all the way down to the crossing of a T. He said that's all important. It's all pure. God wanted us to have His word. I'll point something out to you. Many of you have heard the Lord's Prayer. And there's a lot of teaching in the Lord's Prayer, but I think there's some good teaching in here about the purity of the Word of God. In John 17, Jesus spoke of the words of God in the Lord's Prayer. In verse 8, Jesus said He gave it unto the disciples, and He gave them the words which His Father gave unto Him. Let me read John 17, 8 to us. It says, "For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me." Notice, He did not say He had given unto the disciples God's thoughts. He didn't say He had given unto the disciples God's doctrine, although He had. What did Jesus point out? He said, "I have given you the very words of God." And that's a bigger deal than what people realize. Because the liberals are out there changing all the words because they say, "Don't worry, we'll keep the basic concepts intact. We'll keep the basic doctrine intact. We'll make sure that whatever the gist of that verse was is kept somewhat close to where God started. We don't need somewhat close. We need the very words of God." And in John 17, when Jesus pointed out the importance of the words, He then said that they had received those words. And as a result, the words made it so they knew that He was come from God. So, I say tonight that God told parents they need to rear their kids according to the words of God. So for you and I to have a chance at rearing good kids, we need the words of God. Then God wanted us as parents and Christians and the church to have His exact words, not just pure doctrine, not just pure concepts, but pure words. Then I believe God gave all of His words to man. He gave it to us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, it says all Scripture is given. Now, who was it given to? Well, it was given to man. What for? So that we can profit. We can profit from its doctrine. We can be reproved by it. We can be corrected by it. We can be instructed by it. We could become righteous because of it. But God makes it pretty clear, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. To who? To man. Let me read another passage of Scripture to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 19, 20 and 21 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Peter said this. Peter is saying, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What he means by that is even more sure than what I had witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration. But he said, we have the word. And God said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God gave us his word. And when God gave us his word, he gave us something that he wanted us to use to help raise our children, to use to help us to live right. And now, let me explain a couple words that you may hear them every once in a while when, if you get to talking with someone about the idea of the Bible, and they get to talking about the purity of the Bible. Let me tell you a couple of words that are good for you. There is the word plenary. It's plenary. And what it means is, it is full or complete. When you hear, if someone says, they talk about the verbal inspiration of the Word of God, that means it is word for word. The verbiage. Every word is there. So, when you hear someone talk about the inspiration and preservation of God's Word, it's plenary, verbal, meaning it's full, it's complete, and it's word for word. So, God came to us and he said, parents, you're going to need every word to raise your children properly. He came to us and he said, parents, Christians, church, I want you to have the exact words that you need to succeed. Then, God comes along and he tells us that he would give us all the words, all that we need, all Scripture is given by inspiration. Now, I want to talk to you about the thing that's called inspiration. God has inspired all his words. 2 Timothy 3:16, we heard it earlier. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word inspiration means, it's a breathing into. God, when he inspired, he breathed life into whatever it is he inspired. It's a divine influence on human beings that result in, I believe, the writing of the Scripture. I believe the King James Bible is plenary, verbally inspired, and it's the preserved Word of God. Meaning, it's full or complete, word for word, inspired, and it has been breathed by God. Let me read a verse to you again. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto ye dwell, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. All the way at the end of 2 Peter chapter 9, chapter 1, verse number 21, it says this. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Notice they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There again is God emphasizing the inspiration of the Scriptures. God inspired the words of God. I think God inspired the Scripture that you and I have in our hands right now. I think it is a God-breathed book. You said, but man wrote it. Man wrote it down, but God came up with the words and led man to write the words that you have in your Bible. You say, why did he do that? Because he said we had to raise our kids by every word. The only way that you and I were going to end up with a Bible that was an every word Bible is if God miraculously got involved. And God said, I can handle making sure every generation has access to every word. Yes, And he inspired a book so you and I could have every word. Now, God then did this. God promised to preserve what he inspired. In Psalm 12, verse number 7, it says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." That's in reference to his word. It says in Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Did you know it's not up to man to preserve God's word? Because it's God that promised to preserve his word. And if you say, "Well, I don't understand how man could do it." You don't have to understand how man could do it. I just know God said he would. And if God said he would, God did, because God's not a liar. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. That means if somebody out there tells you, you don't have a sure word of God, they're a liar. You say, that's tough. No, they're the liar. God promised he would inspire it. Then God promised he would preserve what he inspired. God promised every generation would have every word. And so if somebody tells you it can't be so, they doubt the God that I serve, and it's their problem, not mine. I just happen to believe the Bible. So God promised to preserve what he inspired. Man was only the pen held in the hand of God as God led, so that every word was made available even to our generation. Do you know that if man tried to burn every copy of God's word on earth, he couldn't get it done because God promised he would preserve it? You understand that there was a time when Hitler was taking all the Bibles and burning them and would like to have seen them all removed. It wouldn't matter which government, if all the governments turned on God and said, "We're going to eliminate the word of God completely off the face of the earth." It's not happening. Why? Because God promised that he would give us those words. And man's not bigger than God. And if man comes along and says, "Well, I'm gonna better that," he didn't better it, he corrupted it. And he says, "Well, we can eliminate the word of God." No, you can't. You can't eliminate it. Liberals have corrupted the words in their modern versions, but God has provided us, I believe, with the King James Bible to keep his promises to provide us all those words. The devil and man has tried to destroy the word of God through the centuries, but they have failed. They provided counterfeits by providing version after version. God said he would preserve it, and that we would have it to study it, to live it, and to raise our children by it. Now, what did he preserve? Well, he preserved every word. He preserved the letters, the jots, the tittles. He preserved the inspiration. That's the whole deal. When God says, "I'm going to preserve that," he meant, "I'll preserve every part of it." And so we have, in the King James Bible, I believe that we have the preserved, inspired, perfect Word of God. Did you know that God has the power to preserve and inspire his Word? He has ultimate power. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Why should we doubt his promises? He inspired his Word. For who? For man. He promised to preserve what he inspired. Now, let me see if I can help you in regard to the subject of separation. What we discussed tonight is this. God promised us he would make sure that every generation had every inspired word, and he therefore preserved his word. Now, you say, "Well, I don't think it's in the King James Bible." Well, which one do you think it's in? You know what I think you better do? If you think it's in another version, you better stand up and fight for that version. You better believe that it is the pure Word of God. You better... Somewhere there's got to be one. I never have anybody about all those other versions say, "I've got the perfect one." They never do. They say it doesn't exist. I say you're full of prunes. I believe that God has given us one. I'm going to read something to you. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read to you verses 3, 4, and 5.
Listen to it real carefully. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. He said, if someone will not consent to the fact that these are wholesome words, they don't believe in the purity of the Word of God, he said, from such, withdraw thyself. Listen, I believe that what God is saying, there is an element of separation that ought to be practiced in regard to the Word of God. For instance, I think you and your children should not use a corrupt Bible. Get the pure one, the King James Bible. I think you should attend a church, and only a church, that believes in the purity of the Word of God. I think that we ought to, there are Christian camps out there. I think we ought to support Christian camps that believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I think if we're going to give our money to an organization, what we would call a Christian or spiritual organization, I think we ought to give our money to an organization that believes in the purity of the Word of God. I think if you're going to hang a sign in your house and it's some sort of decoration, you might want to make sure it's the pure Word of God. Because he said we should withdraw ourselves. What is that? That's separation. That's what it is. Look, there's something that we do. When we go down to Hallmark and we're looking for a greeting card, I always make sure that it's King James Scripture before I give it away. Yeah, there are a lot of what they call Christian greeting cards. I make sure that if I buy one, it's got the King James. I'd rather have one that's got Charlie Brown and Lucy on it, no scripture, than one that's got a false scripture on it, because I was told to withdraw myself from those that don't believe that the wholesomeness of the Word of God. I think we're supposed to memorize the pure Word of God. That's the King James Bible. So I would recommend this. If you say, I've never been taught this, I memorized some scripture when I was young, you might want to check and see if the scripture you memorized is from the right Bible. And if it's not, I'd re-memorize it the right way. If you have a t-shirt and it's got a verse on it, I think I'd want to make sure my t-shirt had the King James Bible on it. I think if you're going to read authors, I would read authors that are going to promote the King James Bible. I think if you're going to listen to preachers, you ought to listen to preachers that believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And I would tell you this also, and this would be a tremendous challenge for some of you. Many of you, your bad so-called Christian music is produced by non-King James groups and singers, and I'll guarantee you most of them don't believe in the security of the believer. They don't even believe the right doctrines of the Bible. But you might want to just be careful. If you're going to give, I would recommend that if you're going to give a gift away to someone and it's going to be a Bible, that you give them a King James Bible. Why would you want to give someone what is deemed in the Bible a corrupt Bible? Why would you want to promote that? I think that if you take, for instance, when it comes to a Bible college, I'm going to promote Bible colleges that believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I think our kids ought to go to those type schools that promote the King James Bible. And let me say this. I think we ought to support missionaries who use the King James Bible. Now, you need to understand that the King James Bible, I believe, is the Bible in the English language that has been inspired and preserved for us. I think there are other Bibles in other languages that God has preserved and God has inspired. But if I had a missionary and the missionary didn't want to use the King James Bible and they speak English, I would say I don't think I'm interested in supporting. I can't support someone that is going to use a corrupt Bible. And I'm talking about for their own personal use. I think if you're going to win someone to Christ, you need to make sure that you use the perfect seed
of the Word of God, so that that perfect seed is what is helping them to get born again. If I were you and you were going to go around seeking spiritual advice, you know what I'd do? I'd want to make sure I was getting spiritual advice from somebody that was using the pure Word of God to advise me. If I were going to date, I would date somebody that believed the right Bible. If I were going to marry, I would marry someone that believes the right Bible. If you're in our ministry here and you are a Sunday school teacher, a children's ministry leader, a bus captain, you need to make sure that when you go to give a promotional item away in your Sunday school class or in your ministry, that you take a good long look at what verse might be printed on that pencil that you gave away. And you say, well, Pastor, it's not a big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. I don't want us to promote corrupt Bibles. If you are going to support a radio ministry, you better make sure whoever you're supporting believes the King James Bible. If you're going to get involved in some sort of a television ministry, you better make sure it's the pure Word of God. Why? Because God said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 5, if they do not associate with the fact that the Bible is wholesome and pure, you are to withdraw yourself. And I want you to think again. I really want you to think about this. And some of you, you're just religious. You're not committed to the Scripture. You're just religious. Let me tell you something. When God said that there is a curse on someone that removes His words, and we find out that thousands of God's words have been retracted from the Bible, and then we say it's not a big deal that I associate with that, I'm sorry, it is a big deal. And you say, well, Pastor, being that straight-laced and bullheaded about it, boy, you just won't reach the masses of people. I've had no problem reaching the masses of people for many, many years, because God bless us when you exalt the Word of God. And I'm not trying to start a war with anyone, but I will tell you this, I'm willing to go to war. Over what? Well, the Word of God. The Word of God. It is so important. Let me take you back now. The King James Bible, 738,137 words that God gave us. The New King James took out 12,707. The NIV removed 55,168. The ESV removed 25,698. I go back to that thought. How could anybody think? What were they thinking when they took those words out? I wish I had time. I love this subject. I wish I had time to tell you how many times they took Jesus' name out and how many times they took God's name out. They say, well, we take the words out that people don't understand. You understand the name Jesus. You just don't like it. That's why they took it out. They don't even realize it in some cases. They have launched an attack on the purity of the Word of God. And they might not see it that way, but that's what they've done. I was reading my Bible the other day and I came across 2 Corinthians 2:17. And when I read it, it just made so much sense to me. It says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God." I hope that verse applies to you and I. We are not as many who have corrupted the Word of God. If we had the smallest church in the universe, but stayed true to the Word of God, it'd all be worthwhile. But you don't have to stay the smallest church in the universe to stay true to the Word of God. But if we had to, that'd be all right. There's some things you just don't sell out. And I'm promising you, there are preachers and churches all over this nation that have sold out. They sold out. They've given up their stance on there being a pure Word of God. And don't forget, the Word of God is what God is. God is the Word of God. The Word of God is God. You know what that means? They thought they could improve on God Himself. That.
is a serious, serious thing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. To some of you, I realize what I've said tonight is new. Oh, but it is so important that we protect the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. To many, you've heard things like this before. Make sure that you read the book that we believe we should defend.